It's all in how we finish the race. We have to be very, very careful when we judge and we point the finger and we, you know, evaluate someone's life as a mother or father, whatever it may be, even as a Christian. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we don't have to turn there, Paul lays out a list of things that if you practice these things, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Everything from lying to adultery to drunkenness, you fill in the blanks, it's all there. But you know what the following verse says? But such were some of you. That's one of the most encouraging verses in all of Scripture to me, but such were some of you. We're no longer the same. We're changed. And so Mother's Day is not always a glorious day, but you know what? We can glory in the Lord because of His goodness and His grace and His love and His mercy. Oh yeah, we feel at times we blew it, we failed. Give me a retake. It is my prayer and it is God's will that we will finish well, and we can if we'll just take the time to study God's word, apply it to our lives, and continue to run the race, fight the good fight, and keep the faith. We still have a chance to finish well, every one of us. And so here's the godly wisdom that she gives to her son. Some of it is due to her own failures. Have you found that as a Christian? Sometimes people come in for counseling and I'll share things, you know, to encourage them from the scriptures and all. I go, wow, man, that was just profound. And I don't dare tell them I was there too, you know. I've done that. I've been there. And that's why I think that when we minister to other people, God gives us more grace if we've been there. When we can say, you know what, I know exactly how you feel, but this is what the word of the Lord says and this is what God wants to do. Godly wisdom. Some of it from her own failures. Look at the first section. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, son of my womb, and what, son of my vows? In verse 2, three times we see that she calls him her son. She loved him dearly. She dedicated him to the Lord. It says, son of my vows. Deuteronomy chapter 6, the children of Israel dedicated their children to the Lord to train them up in the ways of the Lord. Walking by the way, lying down, rising up to fill their hearts and their minds with the word of God. And also, I believe, that has to do with praying for them. One of the most powerful things a mother can do for their child is to pray for them. Do you know that? To intercede to prayer. God hears the heart cry of a mother with a broken heart. I've got an incredible poem here that I've done every once in a while over the years. It's called Mother's Elbows on My Bed. Great poem. Listen to this. I was but a youth and thoughtless, as all youths are apt to be, though I had a Christian mother who taught me carefully. There came a time when pleasures of the world came to allure, and I no more sought the guidance of her love so good and pure. Her tender admonitions fell but lightly on my ear, and for the gentle warnings I felt an inward sneer. But mother would not yield her boy to Satan's sinful sway. As though I spurned her counsel, she knew a better way. She made my room an altar, a place of secret prayer. And there she took her burden and left it in his care. And morning, noon, and evening, by that humble bedside low, she sought the aid of him who understands a mother's woe. And I went my way unheeding, careless of the life I led, until one day I noticed prints of elbows on my bed. Then I saw that she had been there, praying for her wayward boy, who for love of worldly pleasure would her peace of mind destroy. Long the conflict raged within me, sin against my mother's prayers. Sin must yield for mother's never, while she daily met him there. And her constant love and patience were like coals upon my head, together with the imprints of her elbows on my bed. Thanks, Bill. And so at last the fight was won, and I to Christ was led, and my mother's prayers were answered by her elbows on my bed. Isn't that a great poem? I can honestly say, I have left imprints of elbows on my kids' beds. I still leave elbows on my own bed today, prints of my elbows, and I know my wife does as well. Prayer's powerful. Powerful. If you need a copy, see Sue over there. She'll get you a copy of it eventually, right, Sue? Maybe next week we'll have them. Our church secretary, maybe we'll have them available for you next week. But incredible. But the all-important thing is that we would remember how powerful elbow prints are on beds. Son of my vows, she says. Notice verse 3. Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. Wise mother. And again, she could probably relate, huh? Bathsheba on the balcony. She's telling her son not to fall prey to sexual immorality. It can bring kings down. Solomon writes a whole section in Proverbs chapter 6 and 7 about an immoral woman even reducing a man to a crust of bread. Verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. She was warning him of the dangers of alcohol. We studied the section on alcohol in Proverbs chapter 23 yesterday. And you know, there's a problem in the church with alcohol today, because it seems as though it's a lesser of evils to many people. Oh, I don't take opioids and I don't smoke cannabis and this whole thing. But I can honestly say, as a former alcoholic, that I never would have become an alcoholic had I not taken a drink. It's not a disease, a deficit, or a disorder. I didn't walk by a liquor store one day and have this thing jump off on me. It was self-inflicted. I loved it more than God. I loved it more than my wife, my kids. I loved it more than anything. Until it brought me to the place in my life where I was going to take my life and lose my wife and my kids and everything. Thanks be to God, he was there. It's a gateway. A lot of people don't realize that you would say and do things and carry out actions under the influence of alcohol that you normally wouldn't do in your right mind. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible does not, and I'll be honest with you, does not warn against drinking wine. But in those days, they watered it down 10 parts to 1 so they wouldn't become intoxicated. But it does say that drunkards shall not inherit the kingdom of God. She was concerned for her son. I'm concerned with my kids. Man, I don't know how many times I prayed with my elbows on my bed. Lord, don't let my kid, my child that I love, grow up to be like me. I know what it's like. She warns him of the dangers of alcohol. A drunken king is not a good king. He perverts justice, it says. You don't think so? Look at King Herod. What happened to King Herod at his birthday party when he got wasted? It cost John the Baptist his head. Verse 8, open your mouth for the speechless and the cause of all who are appointed to die. That's a godly leader. That's a godly king that would stand on behalf of the weak and the poor and the downtrodden. That's a heart of compassion. She's encouraging her king, son, the future king, to have a heart of compassion for people. Defend those who don't have a voice. Plead the cause of the dying, she says. Speak on behalf of the poor, the needy, the destitute. The Bible has a lot to say about the poor and the needy and the destitute. Man, my wife lives it out. I'm not here to boast about Tina, but I'll tell you what. Again, she blows me away because she's always reminding me, when you give to the hurting and the poor and the needy, you're giving to God. Wow. We forget that, don't we? And she's encouraging her son to defend the poor and the needy and the downtrodden. And when you read of the wisdom of Solomon in the book of Proverbs, he teaches a lot about these things, about having compassion upon people and more. And the incredible thing, again, being mindful of what we see here in the first verse, he's speaking forth the things that his mother, his godly mother Bathsheba, taught him. Wow. And it is a fact that mothers spend more time teaching the children spiritual things than the dads do. Moms spend more time with kids. They have more access to them during the day. And we work. We're gone all day long as men. And mothers have an incredible impact upon the children. Notice. Open your mouth for the speechless and cause of all those who are appointed to die. Open your mouth. Judge righteously. Oh, how we need that today. And plead the cause of the poor and the needy. Now the spotlight changes, it turns from Solomon, and the teachings that we see here that he learned from his mother point to his mother Bathsheba, some incredible things. What a testimony she has. This is what her son has observed. The Bible says, let another praise you and not yourself. What type of a testimony do we have as believers? Notice what it says, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. A virtuous wife, a godly wife, a holy wife. And you know what, ladies? Every single one of you can become virtuous by the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Mount Calvary. We can't do it in and of ourselves. God wants to wash you, cleanse you if you've failed. He wants to renew your spirit. He wants to renew a right spirit within you. He wants to fill you with his love, his grace, his mercy, his compassion. He wants to shower you in his love. That's what a virtuous woman is. The world today has no idea what a virtuous woman is. Why? Because we look at the outward appearance. I don't know how many times I told my daughter, Kelly, growing up, when you find a man that loves Jesus Christ more than you, that's the right guy. Praise be to God, my prayer was answered. I always tell people, I'm the second man in my wife's life. Jesus is first. So true. She's second in my life. Jesus Christ has to be first. It's a three-strand cord. It's her and I. And that third strand, Jesus Christ is wrapped around us. That's how we've made it for 43 years. You tell people you've been married 43 years and they go, oh, is that, you know, 3 times 15 or, you know, 2 12s and a whatever? You do the math, but they think, oh, same person? You ever heard that? Those of you who've been married any length of time, man? Same person? Yeah. What part of better, worse, rich, or poor, sickness and in health, as long as we both shall live, do you not understand? And I tell you what, if you have a virtuous wife, you're a blessed man. Whether you live in a pup tent or whether you live in a palace, if you have a virtuous wife, you are a blessed man. I'm a blessed man because my wife got saved 2 years before I did, and my virtuous life was instrumental in me coming to know Jesus Christ. For her worth is far above rubies. Money cannot buy a virtuous wife. Actually, the price has already been paid. The blood on the cross on Mount Calvary. Purchased with his blood. The heart of her husband safely trusts her so he will have no lack of gain. You know how much lack of trust there are in marriages today? Oh my gosh. How do I know? I counsel lots of people over the 30 years I've been in ministry. Man, there's such skepticism and a lack of trust. And in many cases, it's because that trust has been broken. You know, broken trust takes a long time to re-heal and re-mend, to be trustworthy in a marriage. And again, I am so blessed because I don't have my wife snooping around trying to find something that I'm into. I love Jesus Christ and I love her, and I would never want to hurt her or break her heart. Trust. Is there trust in your marriage today? I think part of the reason she trusts me, she says, no, she knows if I get out of line, the Lord will whack me. That's a good thing. Sometimes I need a good whack. So he'll have no lack of gain. And we're not talking about the health and wealth and prosperity stuff that's going around. There are riches in marriage that cannot be purchased with money. You know that, don't you? And you know, they say, it's the old saying, I don't think it's in the Bible, but behind every successful man is a good woman. And believe me, I honestly say Jesus Christ is the number one reason I'm where I am today in my walk with him. But I tell you what, my wife is right there along the way, praying for me, encouraging me. She's my best cheerleader, man. And you know, it's so wonderful that I have a godly wife that, you know, that because of her, we've had a lot of blessings in our lives that we would have missed out on. We're not just talking monetary. We're just talking, again, you know, things that God has blessed us with in our marriage because of her godliness, because she is a virtuous woman. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Start looking for things to praise your husband about rather than criticize him. Be an encourager. Many people today think that discouragement is a gift of the Spirit. It's not. Encouragement is. That means to impart courage to somebody. And over the years, we've been through some difficult times, especially when they told me I had 5 months to live 2.5 years ago. She was my encourager. As a matter of fact, she really encouraged me one day. I was ready to cash it in. I was done sitting in the chair. I wasn't going to get up. I wanted to die. And she looked at me and she says, get your rear end up out of that chair right now. I love the gift of encouragement that my wife gives me. That's exactly what I needed. Exactly. Oh, she could have given me a scripture verse. You know, that's wonderful. Well, sometimes I just need the wrath of Tina. Just make sure it's righteous indignation, ladies. She had tears streaming down her face. She was concerned about losing me. She was dying inside, watching me sitting there dying. And again, here I am today, 2.5 years later, because I got up. I didn't quit. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. That's wonderful, man, to come home. It's a new experience almost every day. She does the little things around the house. You know, she's very creative. Ladies, you got a nest there. Moms, be creative. It's great. And we still got those little cards. Remember the cards we gave out a couple years ago? Because I love you. We've worn ours out. It's by the coffee pot. It's by here. And it's funny the places I find that because I love you. She does these little things, these creative things to show me that she loves me. And she doesn't really have to do that because I already know. Just by the way she submits to me. Now that's a word, that's a dirty word today. Submit. What do you mean submit? Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. I don't like that verse I hear ladies say. I say, well, just back up 2 verses. What do you mean? Well, it says submitting to one another in the Lord. I submit to her, she submits to me. We meet right there. It's not just to degrade women. It's, you know what? You want to have an incredible relationship with your husband. Submit to him. It's amazing. And that way he will submit to you. It's not a 50-50 thing. I hear, oh, 50-50. I go, no way. It's 125-125. That's the way it works. She is like, I love this one. I could really go on this one. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. Guys, one of the gifts that God has imparted within the heart of your wife is shopping. Yeah, but she doesn't have to bring home a cargo ship. Merchant ship. I'm pretty blessed in that sense, too. My wife loves thrift stores more than El Paseo. I'm a blessed man. That's her gig. She loves it. Thrift store. I encourage her to go. Loves thrift stores. But isn't it wonderful that they go out and they shop and they bring home foods to bless us? And right in the beginning, in the book of beginnings, Genesis, God says, I want to create you a helper. God gave us a helper in our wives and in the mothers and in the grandmothers that he has raised up. We need help. We really do, guys. And God has given us wonderful helpers, Christian wives, virtuous wives that are helpers. And part of that is the merchant ships bringing food from afar. There are helpers, they're submissive, they're ambitious. She arises while it is yet night, meaning, and this is so true, it's still dark out when they get up a lot of times, especially if you've got little kids. And again, they have strength that God has given to them that we men could never, ever carry out. There's just this perseverance and this persistence and this love that is just, it's mind-blowing. I just step back and go, man. And they're up early at night, early in the morning, excuse me. And you know what? They're up late at night as well. They really are. And she provides food for her household. And a portion for her maidservants, meaning that those that help, whoever they might be, evidently Bathsheba had servants. But you know what? She was kind to their servants. We need to be kind to those people that serve us. It's important. They don't need to be treated as slaves. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm a slave. And if you're a Christian, you're a slave. The Bible says that we are bond slaves for Jesus Christ. And we need to be the biggest servants wherever we are. I'm not Pastor Joe. No, I'm Joe the bondservant, the slave of Jesus. There's no place I'd rather be than to be a servant for Jesus Christ. And again, wives, mothers, take it to an incredible level, the way they serve. And they serve us, and they serve the children that God has blessed them with. And again, that's what it means to be a virtuous woman, a virtuous wife, a mother. She considers a field and buys it. She's into real estate, got a real estate license. And from her profit, she plants a vineyard. Wise investments. And I'll go back to the thrift store thing. My wife has never bought a field or planted a vineyard, but you know what she does? She's done for years now. She goes to thrift stores. She gets merchandise. She puts them on eBay and sells them, and she has put all three of our kids through Christian school through eBay, through buying stuff at thrift stores. She's a wise investor. I probably shouldn't have shared that because now you're going to go out and compete with her at the thrift store to get all the good stuff. But seriously, it's incredible what she has done on eBay. She's not in real estate, but man, she's put our kids, a couple of them are still in Christian school, but she's very wise with her time, with her investments, and what she does with her money. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. There is a strength, like I said earlier, in women that you don't find in men. Men are quitters. Gets too hard. I'm too tired. Whatever it might be. There's just something about the strength that God has given women that's absolutely incredible. It says strength in her arms. Look at the stuff they carry with little kids. My gosh. You know, you name it, they got it. Carrying all this stuff and to feed them and to change them. And all, it's like amazing, the strength that God has given them. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. Meaning she's up late at night. Just taking care of things, taking care of business. Oftentimes I call my wife a hamster. Man, she's on the hamster wheel. First thing in the morning, last thing at night. I'm exhausted just watching you, the hamster. I'm glad she's upstairs with the Sunday school kids because she'd probably whack me for... I guess her pet name would be hamster. Mine's Noodle, hers is hamster. So. She stretches out her hand to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She sews. That's kind of an art that's missing today, isn't it? With a lot of the younger girls being a seamstress, knowing how to sew, knowing how to, needlepoint, whatever it might be. Whatever happened to those things? That's being creative. It's amazing what ladies can do, moms can do with the gifts and talents that God has given them. And one of them, I believe, is being a seamstress and sewing and all. She extends her hands to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. And it's the second time that Solomon has mentioned the compassion that his mother had in her heart for others, mothers and others. You heard me share a number of times, the compassion is feeling their pain in your heart. That's why women are so much more compassionate than men, because they feel people's pain in their heart like we don't. We can be hardcore, guys, and I'm not just blasting the guys today, but we can be insensitive and hardcore, and, you know, it's like, thank God that there's balance. Opposites attract, they always say. Notice, her husband is known in the gates. Whoop, back up. She makes a tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. I look at this and I think he's talking about Bathsheba, who has nice fine linen and clothes. And she got in trouble back in 1 Samuel 11, didn't she? Because she was without clothes. But look at the changes. Fine clothing and purple. Purple is a sign of royalty. Moms, ladies, if you are a woman of God, you are royalty. You are God's daughter. You are clothed in purple. Purple was always a sign of royalty. You're part of the kingdom of heaven. Notice, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Now, at the city gates is where all the wise leaders would go and take care of the issues in the city. And because of a godly wife, a virtuous wife who loved her husband and served him and prayed for him, there he sits among the elders at the gates. And again, it's like, wow. It's amazing what we gain as husbands from virtuous wives, virtuous moms, virtuous grandmothers, great-grandmothers. You see how God works? Notice, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Again, she had another business going. She didn't even have eBay. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. It's called reaping and sowing and reaping, isn't it? All the good seed she's planting is going to come back 30, 60, 100-fold to her, because that's the way God works. She shall rejoice in the time to come. And part of that rejoicing in time to come is from the fruit of her womb, the children that she bore, that she poured her life into, spent time with and nurtured and cared for and raised up and trained up in the ways of the Lord. Where are we, 25? No, 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Man, I don't know if I should expound on this one or not. There's a lot of fashion models out there, if you would, to look at on the outside. That's true with men as well. Looking good on the outside, buff, been to the gym, got the finest of threads, El Paseo all over you. But the minute they open their mouth, something else comes out. That's why it's so important to be Spirit-filled, filled with the Holy Spirit, knowing the Word of God. Open your mouth with wisdom. That's real class, isn't it? When someone opens their mouth and they're godly. And on her tongue is the law of kindness. The Bible has a lot to say about the tongue as well. I think this is an important one as well, because let's face it, a lot of ladies have a problem with gossip, wagging tongues. God hates gossip. It's one of the six things God hates, yea, seven, is gossip, because it destroys people. And how sad it is that a lot of ladies sit around idle time doing nothing but gossiping about others. J. Vernon McGee says, God encased our tongues in teeth so that we can bite on that sucker. Guard your tongue. self-control is the fruit of the Spirit, then our tongue is controlled by the Holy Spirit, if we will allow it to be. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat of the bread of idleness. Not sitting watching soap operas all day. Taking care of her house. Does not eat of the bread of idleness. Idle time is a tool of the devil. Look at this. I love verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And again, there is nothing in Scripture that God would not challenge us to do that he will not give us the ability to accomplish within our lives. There's not a person in here, man or woman, that can't be called blessed. And there's not a person in here that can't receive praise from their spouse. Guys, praise your wives. Bless them. Encourage them. Don't be a picky poo. Picking things apart. Man, encourage. Bless. Why? Because it'll come back 100-fold to you. It is amazing. One guy said one time, treat your wife like a thoroughbred and she won't become a nag. Anyway. Moving right along, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. And again, praise comes from the Lord, doesn't it? And praise comes from her son. Praise comes from her husband. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Verse 30, charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. It's the outward appearance thing again, right? And again, don't get me wrong. You know what? Take care of what God has blessed you with. I think it's so important that you look nice and take care of yourself. And, you know, but it's not all about the exterior. It's all about the interior. Beauty is passing. I can look at that and say, kind of. Because I'll tell you what, you look at a godly woman of age and there's just something about them. Godliness and holiness and purity. And, you know, it's a beauty that you can't get at the beauty shop. It's an inward thing that radiates through God's daughter, God's mom, God's wife that he's blessed you with. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. We're talking about reverence, reverence God. And you know what? It's true with men and women. If we reverence God, if we fear the Lord, it's going to impact everything around us. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. You know, when I read this, and we've looked at it here this morning, all these wonderful things that Solomon said about his mother. And it says, let her own works praise her in the gates. And she probably had no idea that her son thought this way about her. So true, isn't it? We don't have any idea sometimes at how we impact other people's lives by loving them, being kind, being generous, praying for them, embracing them, encouraging them. And we have no idea, you know, as we see here, of what people say about us in a positive way. And don't we need more of that in the world today? Look how critical and crass the world is today about everybody. It's the Simon Cowell mindset where we're just to dissect everything and criticize and tear it down. That's ungodly. That's of the devil. We're to praise people, encourage them, be there for them, give to them, just like moms do. What I'd like to do as we close here this morning, get all the moms and the grandmas and the great grandmas to stand up. We just want to pray for you. First of all, let's give them thanks. Come on, get up. First thing we'd like to say is thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for what you do. Let's pray. Father, we lift up every mom to you. Grandma, great-grandma this morning. And as we've seen here this morning, it's not easy in what they do. Lift up their hearts, bless them, encourage them. Those that think they have failed, Lord, just bless their hearts. Show them how much you appreciate them, Lord. Shower them in your love. Pray for the widows, Lord. Mend their broken hearts. With the moms that have lost children, mend their broken hearts, God. Wrap your loving arms around them. Encourage them in their faith that one day they shall see their children and their spouses again, one day in heaven. And they're going to see you, Lord, and you will say to them, well done, good and faithful mom, mother, enter into my presence. And so I pray for just a special blessing and anointing on every mom here, Lord. We love them. We thank you for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stay standing. Guys, let's join them. Everybody else, let's stand one more time. Sing a closing song.